The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Today, experiencing the miracle zone in the jungles of Borneo. Welcome back to Lifeline. That, by the way, is coincidentally the title of a new book co-authored by my guest today, Ronnie Habor, and Pastor Don Sheely from Church of the Highlands. Of course, you know Pastor Don from his daily broadcast, Daybreak, heard weekday mornings at 6:30 a.m. right here on KFAX. Pastor Sheely, let me turn back to you. There is a manner in which your church here in the San Francisco Bay Area is actively engaging believers into literally going into the mission field in Borneo. Tell us a bit more about that.
One of the exciting programs we're having at the church is we're taking over groups maybe once a year from our congregation and having them become involved. And in July, we have 22 of our young people plus some adults, 14 or 15 adults, and we sent over a exploratory team a couple of months ago so that we could find a project for these 22 kids. So Ronnie has set aside 10 acres in his area, and they're presently digging the holes, and we're going to be planting an orchard, a fruit orchard, so that in a couple, 3 years, the children will be enjoying. But by sending our young people there, it is absolutely a life-changing experience.
I was going to say, you know, so often people say, well, we're going to go build homes in Mexico because we want to do something for them. And when we come with this idea that we are going to minister to them, and while indeed that takes place, more often than not, the real ministry takes place as these people experience what God is doing there and then bring that back home to the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think, and I have three wonderful boys that God has given to us. And years ago, we used to send them to Mexico. And that experience of ministering in Mexico turned their hearts towards ministry. So I have the joy of having all three of my sons working with me. But our prayer is that when these young people go in the next couple of months, that we're going to see some life-changing experiences. And they'll come home and ignite our youth group with their love for Christ and the experience of which they're going through.
If it could only be made mandatory that as young people come to Jesus Christ and they get involved in pure discipleship and they learn to love the Lord, read His Word, live out His Word, share that love with others, and then be required to go on a trip overseas and watch God work and be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the change that happens when you come back, you're not the same person.
Mm-hmm. And what we did as a church, we talked it over. It's quite a large sum, $3,000 to send one over to Borneo for 2 weeks. So what we did as a church, we put up the $2,000 so that all the youth had to do is raise $1,000, which was they were able to do. And so they have become, in a very real way, a part of the project. But we think it's a tremendous investment in the lives of young people as a church.
I'm going to tell you, Pastor Don, at the end of the day, you couldn't do better if you sent them to seminary for 10 years.
That's right.
Because what God will do in that experience. What's the long-term vision here? I know a lot of this type of work is day by day, but in terms of the burden in your heart, you've now developed this campus, the orphanage, the school. We're seeing multi-generational fruit as a result of, as we mentioned before, more than 500 kids are being ministered to on this multi-acre facility, literally in the middle of the jungle there in Borneo. As God continues to percolate a vision in your mind's eye.
Well, if we look at the area there, it's very there's still a huge remote area there that is untouched. And there are still lots of tribes that are completely without the gospel message and where the world hasn't been yet. So our desire is eventually, you know, God said to us to sort of prepare a place for 1,000 neglected kids and build schools for 2,000. Now we're halfway with having half of the kids there. So, so our concentration is on that and reaching that goal first. In the meantime, of course, lots of kids are coming to the Lord and lots of kids are going out as well. But our aim is to duplicate the word even further into the jungle, because we're reaching a sort of an area there, but there are still many areas there to reach with the gospel message. So, but it's if we work from where we are now, that would take us a month or so to get where we need to get, and that would be just all almost impossible. But we'd like to sort of set up another base there, deep in the jungle, and then release another whole group of people to be able to start there another work to those tribes that are there. They're more primitive, they're more hostile, so again we need to send out people who know who they are in Christ.
It sounds like you're training up an army.
Yeah, so
we're going to do just that.
All of our young people, you see, we send a lot of them off to Bible colleges throughout the country. We also send them off to universities because our schools need teachers. All our teachers that we have now are all our homegrown kids that have been with us for years and years, and we send them off to university then, and then they come back and they help us with the next generation of kids coming in. So all our teachers, we've got 36 now teachers that are all our own. We also have another 34 in universities now scattered throughout the country. So one has just finished his doctorate. He's a medical practitioner now. He still has to do practical work in some of the Indonesian hospitals throughout the country until December, and then he'll be our own residential doctor in our clinic. And so that's where it starts, all that. That a lot of these kids are coming back now, and they never believed that they could do this. You see, from the start that we arrived there 20 years ago, we always heard, even from the local people there, that they're too primitive, too stupid, too uneducated, they can't achieve anything. They've been told that by all the other groups of around the country. And we always said, no, you know, God has created us all equally. You know, we're all created in the image of God. So if you have the opportunity to be able to be educated, then, you know, you can be the teacher as well and the doctor and whatever. So we've proven that now with them, and they know that now themselves. They see that now. So they're ministering to the next generation coming through. And it's a very strange world. I mean, we have children there, of young people there who are 15, 16, have never been to school in their lives before when they come to our place. So we have to teach them how to read and write, and teach them how to go through primary school before they can go to secondary school, and all those sort of things. So it's a very different sort of ministry than you would have, say, in a Christian school here in the West.
I would suspect some of our listeners might be curious, Ronnie, as we began our conversation this afternoon talking about sacrifices that your family made in the very get-go. One or two listeners might be thinking, well, I bet as soon as these kids got old enough, doing any work on the mission field was the farthest thing from their mind. Tell us a bit about where your family is at today.
Well, our family, my two older kids from my first wife, they're both in Australia at the moment, and they're married, and so they love the Lord, but they're not in ministry. They're not. They've got their own jobs and stuff like that. So then I've got two kids of my second wife, right? And the oldest, Nathaniel, he's just been through Bible college in Australia. He went to finish at the moment with him there in Australia. So that is a 3-year commitment. And so I'm in Borneo. She's in Australia. And again, you know, we were just talking about, are you prepared to give up your family? Well, I see this a little bit as I'm giving up my family, you know. I mean, I'm missing them like crazy, and we miss each other like crazy, but we are goal setters, and we know that we've given our lives to the Lord, and at whatever cost. Now, this is a cost that we pay, I know, but it's a goal that we've set. 3 years, it's going to be finished in no time. And then either Joel will go on to university or to higher education, and Kay will come back to Borneo or whatever. But we just see this as, yeah, just one of those things. And God is there with us. So she comes twice a year to Borneo in the school holidays, and I'll go over there in between when I'm on my travels to wherever, and I might just pop in for a week or so. So next month I'm going to see them again. I haven't seen them for 4 months now, so it'd be great to be with them and be at the wedding. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, congratulations on the new addition to the family and the new book, Miracle Zone in the Jungles of Borneo. And as we mentioned at the get-go, you can get more information on the web, livingwatersvillage.com. That's livingwatersvillage.com. You've got photographs there. Folks can see the entire development. And as Pastor Sheely mentioned, 60-something buildings. It really is a miracle in the middle of that jungle there. And that's a great way to get educated about the ministry and, of course, to lend support as well. And so if folks want to get more information, maybe this is something you pray about and say, you know, we'd like to be a part of this and stand with the ministry of Ronnie Habor and the family there at Living Waters Village. Pray for them, certainly. And then if the Lord puts the burden on your heart for economic support, folks, I would imagine, can make a donation right through the website.
They can. And they can come over as well and give us a hand if they want to.
Well, so that's like right. In fact, just like the team coming from Church of the Highlands. And, you know, if you want to plant it into a good dynamic church with solid Bible teaching and a real demonstrative passion for a Christian worldview, that Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts, I guess that would be San Bruno, Northern California, and all the way into the jungles of Borneo. Check out Church of the Highlands, the broadcast, of course, weekday mornings at 6:30 a.m. right here on KFAX. You can get information on the web, churchofthehighlands.org. That's churchofthehighlands.org. And if listeners, Pastor Sheely, have a burden and say, you know what? This is exactly the kind of ministry I've been looking for. This is exactly the kind of thing that I'd like to go and experience. Some of these trips in the future, are they open to folks coming and get any more information about?
Yes, we open up the trips, and we'll probably have two trips next year. But the interesting thing about it, Craig, is we can send over carpenters, whatever it is, because they're building a city. So whatever's needed in the city, Ronnie needs it for the help. So if they want to help teach the children in the school, if they want whatever they want to do, they can use their abilities there. And the reason why I like this project, in the years that we have been involved in missions, oftentimes we can send them dollar bills, and but they don't to send over a church family to help is really not the most effective way. But here's a project where we can just say to the church, we're going to be taking another tour. Come and join us, and we've already built our Highlands house there at the orphanage, so we can, how many can we accommodate, Ronnie?
About 50, I think, in that place.
Mm. Yeah, Ronnie and I sat down a couple years ago in a restaurant, and we drew out the kind of house we wanted and made it much like a motel, and with the idea that because the parents sometimes that are living want to come see their children, so it gives them a place to stay. And we have churches from all over the world coming there to help, so it gives them some living quarters. And I guess when we send our team a couple of months, our kids are going to be staying there in the Highlands house.
Yeah. So if you want to get more information, again, you can go to Ronnie Habor's website at livingwatersvillage.com. That's livingwatersvillage.com. You can also call Church of the Highlands in San Bruno if you'd like to find out more about the next opportunity to travel on a missions trip. You'll go with the intention of helping to change lives and come back a changed person.
Yeah.
On the web, churchofthehighlands.org, or you can call the church directly at area code 650-873-4095. That's 650-873-4095. 4095. Miracle Zone in the Jungles of Borneo. New book written and co-authored by Ronnie Habor and Pastor Don Sheely from Church of the Highlands. Ronnie, great to see you again. Appreciate the visit.
Yeah, thank
Pastor
you.
Pastor Don Sheely, always wonderful to have you drop
God
by.
God bless you, Greg.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Parents struggle with, well, several sets of questions when the kids reach that inquisitive age. Certainly, I think most parents shudder at the notion of having to have the talk. You know the one I'm referring to. The birds and the bees talk. And largely feel that they are wholly unprepared to answer many of the questions that the kiddies will offer up. And, of course, it becomes challenging and problematic. We can't rely on the public school system to provide our kids with sex education. And if they learn it from their peers, it's going to form some very unhealthy relationships and very unhealthy lifestyles, potentially. Along with that, I think for Christian parents, there also can be that equal sense of being wholly unprepared to answer many of the questions that our kids pose as they are exploring the claims of Christ and their faith. It is more than just simply saying, because the Bible said so, and, you know, sort of taking the God said it, I believe it, that settles it approach. The kids want real answers, to have a real faith. God has no stepchildren. We understand that. But how can you be best prepared to answer some of the toughest questions that your kids may pose regarding their faith and Christianity? Well, Dr. Alex McFarland joins us.
He is the author of a number of best-selling books on a variety of topics. He also serves as a radio talk show host. He is director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. And in addition to all of the wonderful books that he has written, the latest one is one that you will want to have handy on your top shelf. It's called simply 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. And Dr. McFarland, always a delight and an education to have you join us.
Well, thank you so much, Craig. It really is a thrill to be on with you. I'm deeply grateful.
Is this a parallel that I draw between sometimes the awkwardness that parents feel in answering questions regarding sexuality, the birds and the bees, equally up there with questions regarding faith? I mean, when your kid comes to you straight-faced and says, Daddy or Mommy, why does God allow suffering? Boy, you know, we tend to kind of come with the platitudes, but we don't always have the strong theological response that the kids really need, do we?
Yeah, I think that's a great parallel that you draw. Moms and dads get nervous about having the talk, you know, regarding sexuality, and I think they procrastinate and sometimes push away opportunities to talk about deep spiritual matters as well. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, not only culturally but scripturally, moms and dads need to be able to help their kids process the questions about God and Christianity and spiritual growth that are natural, that kids will ask. You know, we're inquisitive creatures, and we're spiritually inquisitive as well. And sometimes mom and dad avoid those types of questions, or they'll reprimand their kids and say, you know, you shouldn't ask things like that, maybe because they themselves don't really know a good, solid answer. So the book is designed to equip moms and dads. It's a fun book. I mean, there's questions kids ask me that were funny, poignant, touching, probing. And so there are many questions from interviews that we did with about 111 children.
I'm curious if there is a degree to this in which parents are sometimes awkward or reluctant or feel chagrined at answering questions because their own base knowledge is a bit lacking. And I pose that question because there are parents that I know that have, on the topic of the birds and the bees, kind of taken the, you know, with sexuality, as complicated as it is these days, I don't know, I was raised in the 50s. Things have changed so much. I'm just maybe more content to allow the kids, who they're smart kids, to go out and explore and find the answers on their own. Is that approach dangerous, particularly when it comes to spiritual matters?
Well, it is, Craig, because for one thing, it's communicating a message to your children that these things just really aren't that important. I mean, you know, if they really were that significant, you know, mom and dad would have taken the time to carve out an answer or to, you know, get a handle on a good perspective. But, you know, really Christianity it's a faith system that has good answers to the questions. We have good evidence for the claims of Christ. But Christianity is a relationship-driven faith, not only our relationship with the Lord Jesus, but passing it on, evangelism and discipleship and the spiritual mentoring of children. It's I guess, for lack of a better word, I would call it life-on-life transference. And who better to inform the spiritual perspective of children, who better to do that than mom and dad? But, you know, the old saying, you can't give away what you don't have. If there's going to be transference and life-on-life, you know, discipleship, mom and dad have to have a robust faith of their own. And so we talk about that in the book, that, you know, the opportunity to answer your kids' questions, you know, might be really a reminder to drill down deeply in your own life, mom and dad.
And obviously, you know, sometimes the inclination toward being dismissive, minimizing the importance of what might seemingly be a benign question to you, that in fact is a deep, searching, probative question for a young person who yes, maybe raised in church, and you had a family altar in the evenings, you know, many families that will spend moments in the Bible every night together, things of this sort, particularly when the kids are younger, and you thought you've done everything that you can do to help establish a firm foundation in their faith, and in fact, they've just been kind of going through the paces or the motions, and are now beginning to ask the tough questions that at some point in life all of us ask of what God, who God, where God, why God, what of sin, what of salvation, what of my relationship to God, who is Jesus Christ, things of this sort. Our children deserve these answers because God, as we say, has no stepchildren, and they will not, these kids cannot vicariously live out their relationship with Christ through you. So how can we be best prepared to answer some of the toughest questions that your kids may ask regarding Christianity? Dr. Alex McFarland is with us tonight to help illuminate on all these matters. We'll come back to more of our conversation as Lifeline continues here on KFAX.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Ah, yes, indeed. And back to the conversation tonight. Dr. Alex McFarland is with us. You know him as the author of a number of New York Times best-selling books, including 10 Answers for Skeptics, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith, 10 Common Questions or Objections, rather, to Christianity, and now his latest book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. Let's get to your calls. We're going to lead off first for Dr. McFarland in Sonoma. Aaron, come on in with your comment or question for Dr. Alex McFarland.
Hi there. Certainly, I've been a parent for 7 years now. We've got little ones, and our faith, my husband and I, has really, you know, strengthened and solidified in so many ways, and we're just on our own journey, and with our kids, it's a beautiful thing, and I feel really blessed and really grateful, but the most challenging part of parenting for me that I would love to hear your perspective on is not so much the interaction that I have with my kids, because I feel like we're learning and growing together every day. But my husband and I, growing up in Christian households, have parents that look at us in a way that and expect us to behave in a way and teach our children in the same way that they have taught us, and we're not the same people. And so with our family and with other folks, it's just the most challenging part of parenthood.
Are you talking about in the sense of what, like certain traditions or just parenting styles?
Overall, you know, like when I was pregnant with my second child, my mom asked me, you know, do you really believe? And, you know, they sort of think like if I don't express it in the same way, then it must not be correct, or you know what I mean? Like, I might not be passing it on. And my father-in-law said, you know, we're really the godparents for children. As if we can't do it ourselves. Or, I mean, of course, everybody, it takes a village for sure. But, you know, these things that are passed on, I think it's important to realize that as much as we have the common faith and common denominators, we're all on our own journey and path, and we sort of have to respect how we're doing this, you know, and being really careful that our children will come up in their time, but we do have to lead them, and we can't let go, and we have to guide them, you know, at least until they're 18, but I'm sure it goes on and on and on, you know, that's the...
Oh, yeah. Ask any parent with kids in their 40s and 50s, and they'll tell you that's so. All right. Let's turn to Dr. McFarland for a response. Alex, this, of course, is a predicament. Oftentimes, parents may have a certain parenting style or a manner in which they feel the spiritual legacy should be passed on, and all of a sudden they see their own kids with kids of their own, and maybe they're not insisting that they be involved in Royal Rangers or whatever the case might be. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Well, you know, salvation is the same for all people in that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, but Christian growth is kind of different for all people. You know, what is a catalyst in the Christian growth of one person, God might use something different to spiritually mature another person. And so I want to say a big word of encouragement to the caller and to all moms and dads that, there will be no shortage of people to give advice or even to be sometimes critical, but don't let that discourage you, and don't let that make you second guess yourself. Just by virtue of being mom and dad, just genetically, you've got home court advantage, and nobody can nobody can influence the spiritual direction of a child like the parent. It's very poignant in Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13, where the Word of God says, you know, when it comes to pass that your son will ask you, why do we do these things? Then you will say, when Pharaoh would not let us go, God with a strong hand brought us out. And it kind of, the implication is that your children will look to mom and dad and say, hey, I want what you've got. So I would say, be in the Word, be in prayer. You make sure that you're walking with Jesus, and then let the Holy Spirit do the driving. And over time and through circumstances and just consistent, authentic Christian living, God will steer you in the way that you can best be the Christian parent that your children need.
Is it a difference, Alex, between sort of forcing our children into the Christian mold versus modeling our own faith? The do as I do versus do as I don't, don't do as I do as I say kind of scenario.
It's very much modeling, I think, that is the winning approach. My friend Josh McDowell, who I'll be with him Thursday and Friday in Texas, actually, but Josh says, you know, rules without relationship breeds rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And just a list of do's and don'ts. While it's important to have standards, but just a list of do's and don'ts won't cut it. I think legalism has created more skeptics and atheists than all the naturalistic philosophers.
Well, and I think we all know cases. I certainly can cite them from my sphere of acquaintances, where parents on some occasion would insist that the child go to Sunday school and things of this sort. They themselves, however, not fully participate. And then when the child is, of age, 18, moves out of the house and suddenly, dumps church and never wants to go back, wonders, well, what happened?
You know, it's got to be, like you say, modeled so that the old saying, more is caught than taught. Now, there does need to be some good intellectual content. There needs to be substantive answers to the questions, and that's what we do in the book. We try to give good answers, age-appropriate answers, because in the 111 children I interviewed, we would notice that the questions of a 5-, 6-, 7-year-old were different than the questions of a 10, 11-year-old, a 12-year-old, a pre-adolescent. So it's a combination of both. But even, let me say, mom and dad, you don't feel like, I'd better be a theologian, to be able to speak into the lives of my children. Oftentimes, just the visual that mom and dad love Jesus, that they're walking with the Lord, and there is a good answer to all the questions, even if I don't know what it is. There's just a trust that seems to be bred in the heart of a child when they see mom and dad consistently, authentically living out their faith. And then there'll come time when you can have the conversations like we talked about, the spiritual coming-of-age conversations. But, I would say, mom and dad, one of the most potent apologetics that you can set forth before the watching eyes of your kids is your own authentic, committed walk with Jesus Christ every single day.
This is sort of the Pauline, follow me as I follow Christ approach?
Absolutely.
Dr. Alex McFarland with us tonight. He, Director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. He is also the host of Explore the Word radio program, nationally syndicated. He has traveled and spoken to over 1,000 churches during his apologetics career and written a number of best-selling books, no doubt this one destined to be the next bestseller, 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. We'll come back to more of our conversation as Lifeline continues.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Selling author Dr. Alex McFarland, his new book, 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. By the way, the book available through the usual suspects, meaning Bay Area bookstores. I think there's one or two of those that still exist. Amazon.com, and also through Dr. McFarland's website, 21toughestquestions.com. And that's spelled out, enumerated. 21toughestquestions.com. Do some parents in your experience, Dr. McFarland, feel threatened when their kids start to approach them, particularly as a child gets to be of age, you know, early teens, things of that sort? And here you've been dutiful in terms of taking the kids to school, to Sunday school and church, and you really thought you've done everything right, and you feel firm that your child has a strong faith experience, and then they come start asking these very fundamental questions. Do parents sometimes get defensive on that?
Yeah, they do. And let me say this. I'm not, you know, bashing mom and dad or being critical, but not only do moms and dads sometimes get defensive, but sometimes they just make excuses. And, you know, in doing all these interviews, periodically I would hear moms and dads say, you know, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not a theologian. I've never been to seminary. I'm just a mom and a dad. And, you know, let me say this. To shape the spiritual lives of your kids, you don't have to be a theologian. But before God and in the sight of the Lord and the church, in the home, parents are called to be the spiritual drivers of the family, really. And so I challenge moms and dads in the book, you know, avoid the deer in the headlights look. You know, when your children ask things like, you know, did the baby Jesus wear diapers? Or if God made everything, who made God? And how does God hear the prayers of all the people in the world at once? You know, things like that. One little boy asked the question, you know, my pastor says Jesus and Satan are fighting. What are they fighting with? Lasers? You know, use these wonderful opportunities to show that the questions have answers. But let me say this. Oftentimes, I think in recent decades of Christianity, there's the assumption that I pray the sinner's prayer, Lord, come into my life and save me. Amen. And that's it. And I wait around five more decades, and someday I'll die. And just getting saved is the end of the equation. There's also the kind of the assumption, you know, if my child goes to youth group or Sunday school, check that box off, the duty is done, and that's the end of my job. And it's so much more than that. And what a wonderful opportunity it is. But, you know, 2 Peter 1:16 says we have not followed cleverly devised fables. The gospel is not faith alone. It is faith, but it's a faith validated by compelling lines of evidence. So it's not just that we're going to resolve to believe a myth in spite of the evidence. No, we can defend our faith because of the great evidence. And so mom and dad embrace this wonderful calling, this wonderful opportunity, because in, you know, prepping to build spiritual champions out of your children, you yourself will probably grow and mature, and your love of Jesus and your confidence in him will grow as well.
In that sense, then, is it better when a child presents a theological question that we may not feel fully comfortable in asking, especially if they, you know, come into something that's fairly deep and we feel like we're just ill-equipped, is it better to say, I don't know, than to lie or to, you know, try and make something up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't snow job a child. They'll see it from a mile away. And certainly don't just make up a lie, because they'll be on the internet and they'll find out the truth. You know this, that we live in a time of so much information that if you don't proactively give the answers and chart the course, your kids will find a spiritual roadmap somewhere, and it might not be the right one. And so it's perfectly fine. In fact, it's really healthy sometimes when the parent says, hey, that's a great question, you know. Give me a couple of days, and together let's work through this together. But, you know, there is mystery. Even the deepest Christian, I mean, think of somebody like a Billy Graham or David Jeremiah or the great Christian leaders that we look up to. There's still things that they are learning, and there's still mystery. There's so much we do know, and then there are things that this side of heaven will never know. And so let your sons and daughters know that Christianity is concrete, but it's abstract. I mean, we know Jesus died and rose again. There's an empty tomb. He literally was nailed to a cross to pay for our sins. So there's much about the faith that is concrete and provable and documentable. But then there are things like, when will Jesus come back? We just don't know. Why does a good, godly, faithful Christian family suffer the loss of a loved one? Why can a faithful Christian get laid off of their job? We don't know all the answers, but we know God is faithful. You know, C.S. Lewis said regarding the death of his own wife, and here's a guy that had given much of his adult life to defending the faith, and he lost his wife. His wife passed away, and Lewis wrote, God, I know now why you utter no answer. You yourself are the answer. Before your face, questions flee away. And so it's okay for a mom and dad to say, you know what, son, I don't really know, but I'll try to find out. But there are hard, concrete facts, and then there are areas of mystery where we have to trust God.
And then, too, don't we need to be sensitive in terms of the degree of maturity of the child, both from a spiritual standpoint and an age standpoint? I mean, that whole milk to meat thing. I mean, I have seen some parents who, for example, are big fans in the study of eschatology and dispensationalism. They've got down pat. Explaining to a child sin, death, judgment, damnation, sin, salvation, sanctification, the child knows nothing of that, but mom or dad drags the kids off to every single conference on eschatology they can get their hands on.
That's true. And you know what? Steak is a wonderful thing, but if you cram it down the throat of an infant, it probably will choke.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've got to say this, from preaching in 1,400 churches and being president of a seminary, I love the body of Christ, and I love believers of all strata, but there are believers that are, you know, straight as an arrow theologically, but as empty as a bank vault as far as their heart and their joy. And like so much of the Christian life, there's got to be a balance. There's learning and knowledge and content and data, but then there's trust and waiting on God. And you know, we don't want to make the Bible say less than what it says, but we don't want to make the Bible say more than what it says. And that balance of having standards but not being legalistic, knowing that we're free in Christ, but that doesn't mean that we're free to go and sin with no restraint. And so you know, I was in Colorado, Craig, speaking at a men's retreat and doing some of this content while the book was in process about a year and a half ago, because I spent over 2 years on this one book. And, you know, I was talking about being a godly man and a husband and a father. And during the break, a man came up and he said, you know, Alex, I hear you. This is great, you know. But, I mean, the kind of disciple you're talking about to love Jesus and love the family and First Peter, you know, lay down your life for your spouse, and you know, the kind of Christian you're talking about, I mean, that would be like every day, 24/7. And I'm like, yeah. I think that's what God calls us to give him 100%. And so more than ever in this culture, in this milieu, that's what we Christians are called to do, to give Jesus our all, and it will bear fruit in the lives of the next generation, our kids, who follow after us.
And certainly in the process of giving all to Christ and training up a child in the way that he should go, wonderful insights inside the pages of this new book, 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. And not only can be a great primer for mom and dad when the questions arise, but also take you deeper, foundationally speaking, into your own faith. The book, again, is available at 21toughestquestions.com. That's the number 21toughestquestions.com. Or, of course, Amazon.com. And as always, our thanks and appreciation for his time in the insights, Dr. Alex McFarland, Christian Worldview and Apologetics Director at North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Lifeline. Thanks so much for being with us. And if there was anything you heard on today's show that you'd like to hear again or share with a friend, grab a copy of the Lifeline podcast. Simply log on to KFAX.com. That's KFAX.com for the Lifeline podcast. Our producer is Wanda Sanchez. I'm Craig Roberts. Till next time round, remember, just don't keep the faith. Get out there and share it and make it a great evening. So long.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.